ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
So while Phil's having a break, and while you've got me in the big man's chair for a little while, I thought that around about this time every night we could check in on some of our genuinely skilled, fantastic political reporters around the country and find out what were the very big stories coming out of the states and cities and territories and areas therein for, of course, the year that we're pretty soon say goodbye to, 2025. And tonight, kicking off with Nick Dole, state political reporter, ABC News in Sydney. And Nick, thanks so much for taking a bit of time to join us on Nightlife.
No worries, Nick. Good to be here.
Nick, in New South Wales, I mean, the big topic, the one that we're talking about today as it's going through, of course, anti-Semitism and big political recall just before Chrissy to deal with the fallout. What's been happening?
Yeah, look, I mean, politicians have been called back to Parliament to try to respond to, I guess, something that has shocked not only community in Bondi, but Sydney and right around Australia. So this is the issue of, I guess, not only the horrific massacre, but the associated anti-Semitism. And so, you know, this is something that's been, the government's been trying to deal with really since the beginning of the year. In many ways, it kind of started, the year started the way that it ended, because it was early in the year that the Premier and the Police Commissioner announced that they'd found a caravan parked in semi-rural Dural in Sydney, and it had explosives throughout it. Now, they also found a note referencing the Great Synagogue. Now, the Premier, Chris Minns, he said he believed that police had foiled a mass casualty event targeting the Jewish community in Sydney. At the time, police did say that they were also investigating the possibility that whoever left this caravan kind of intended that it be found. But we later found out that the caravan plot, the Dural caravan plot, as it was kind of became known, it wasn't actually a foiled terrorist attack. Police actually believed it had links to organised crime. So look, around the same time, there'd been this spate of attacks on Jewish neighbourhoods and centres. You know, there were fire bombings, there were graffiti attacks. Police also said that some of those attacks also were linked to organised crime. But, you know, look, the Premier and the Jewish community, they pointed out that, you know, while they may not have had anti-Semitism as their primary motive, some of these attacks, you know, they all still instilled this sense of fear, I guess, in the community. And that was a fear that made some Jewish people, you know, even afraid to even just make shows of their faith in public.
Nick, I know at that time period we saw basically new hate speech legislation come into play. What was the impact of that?
Yeah, look, the government passed these laws making it a crime to incite racial hatred. So in New South Wales, it was already illegal to sort of incite violence based on someone's race. But this went a step further, making it unlawful to deliberately and publicly incite hatred against someone based on their race. So look, these laws were rushed through Parliament, and that drew some outrage, really, from some members of the crossbench who believed that they were an overreach and that they curtailed free speech. And then there were other laws targeting some things like graffiti that we saw at Jewish facilities, including synagogues. The government made it an offence to display a swastika near a place of worship. Police were also given new powers to move on protesters from places of worship. And, you know, that again drew some outrage from civil liberties groups and even some within the Labor Party who argued that those laws went too far and they gave police too much power. Ultimately, they actually got challenged in court and overturned. So the government has since gone back and rewritten that particular law. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see whether that gets challenged again. But yeah, look, the hate speech legislation has really been a big focus for the government in 2025. And it's been a year where obviously we've seen some really confronting and hateful acts.
Very confronting. I mean, no one expects to see a situation where you've got, you know, neo-Nazis standing on the steps of Parliament.
No, and look, I guess that was a big test of some of those hate speech laws because, you know, you're right, they were just such extraordinary scenes, weren't they? That big group of neo-Nazis dressed in black on the footpath out the front of New South Wales Parliament. Now, look, they were holding a sign that said, "Abolish the Jewish lobby." Now, police were aware of the demonstration. In fact, police actually authorised the demonstration. But I guess it shows you how some groups with racist intent or intolerance, they can still, you know, kind of operate within the bounds of the law. You know, the banner, I think, was pretty carefully worded so as that it didn't break the law, even though many people would consider, I guess, the tone of that entire demonstration to be highly offensive. So some of them were chanting things like, well, slogans that are associated with Hitler Youth. And I guess that's one of the reasons why we're now expecting even more laws prohibiting Nazi phrases and Nazi gestures. They've been flagged for some time in the new year.
And they'll be coming in with what it looks like could be some changes to gun control and gun laws as well.
Yeah, that's right. Politicians have been called back to Parliament to discuss gun control, also new protest laws. And look, police also have, I guess, some questions over how they approach the Bondi Massacre or anything like the Bondi Massacre again in the future. Such extraordinary and quite chilling pictures of those gunmen shooting from that bridge. And I think it just gives you a sense of how general duties police particularly, you know, really, well, they were quite literally outgunned. You know, they've got a Glock pistol, a taser, a baton. They're really no match for a high-powered weapon like a shotgun. Now, the police who were able to take the shooters down, I guess they put themselves at great risk, didn't they? I mean, we saw those two police very badly injured. One young probationary constable, sadly, is going to lose vision in an eye. So, yeah, stemming from this horrific terrorist attack, the police commissioner says there will have to be a discussion about, I guess, the appropriateness of police firearms. I don't think anyone's suggesting that, you know, every cop on the beat gets a rifle or something like that. But I think perhaps for high-risk events or in certain circumstances, there may be a need for police to access longer range or higher powered weapons. Now, the commissioner, he hasn't really committed to anything yet. It's still very early days, but it's something that he says he'll be looking at. And I dare say what happened in Sydney will probably make police forces around Australia just kind of look and assess their own processes and their own resources as well.
Nick, it should be said, before Bondi happened, I know the Albanese government spent a lot of December on the back foot, on the defence over travel entitlements being used by some senior ministers, a lot around that. Yeah. In New South Wales, you had your own expenses scandal, though.
Yeah, we were doing it before it was fashionable in New South Wales.
Cool. Yeah.
It sort of actually claimed the job of a senior cabinet minister earlier in the year, Joe Halen. Now, look, the circumstances were a bit different. Earlier in the year, it emerged that Joe Halen, the transport minister, she'd actually taken a government car and a government driver to the Hunter Valley for a long lunch. So the driver had to leave Sydney, head up to Caves Beach to her holiday home, pick up the minister and some companions, including another New South Wales minister, Rose Jackson, take them to lunch, take them back to the holiday house, and then drive all the way back to Sydney. So look, when this came out, Joe Halen conceded it didn't sort of meet community expectations, it didn't pass the pub test, but she pointed out it was all within the rules. And, you know, she is right. The rules in New South Wales said that you're allowed to use government cars for private purposes, because often I think the lines, they do blur. You know, a minister might be perhaps on the way to the airport, but it makes sense to drop the kids off at school on the way. Or, you know, you might be heading to a private event as a minister, but if you're already being driven there, you can take work calls the whole way there or read important paperwork, that kind of stuff. So I think there are reasons why the rules have been pretty generous in New South Wales, but I guess an entirely private event involving a long lunch in the Hunter Valley is a bit of a different case.
I got to say, Nick, I think, you know, when we've seen these resignations, when we've seen a lot of conversations around, well, it was within the rules, I think many people are then asking, well, is now time to change the rules or define the rules a little bit better?
Exactly.
Because, you know, not to go into the cliches, a lot of this has not passed the pub test for many Australians.
Yeah, look, and look, Jo Halen, she admitted that. So even though she agreed to pay back some of the money, she did try to hang on as a minister, but it emerged later that she'd used the car and the driver for other long personal trips, including one that involved another winery excursion. Now, she said that one was different because she was definitely working during that. She was doing work on the trip. But, you know, ultimately the pressure It just got too much and she resigned. But this whole fiasco, I guess, Nick, like the federal government travel entitlement controversy that we've seen, it's not always black and white. You know, we do ask a lot of government ministers. They work massive hours. Very few weekends are ever truly theirs. And so I think sometimes to keep the family running, you know, I think probably people do understand that sometimes taxpayer-funded entitlements need to be used. On the other, you know, hand, there's a lot of people out there who also manage really stressful jobs without government cars or free flights. But I guess another point is often government ministers need a degree of privacy too. You know, you can't read cabinet documents on a bus. You can't have a sensitive conversation with the Premier or the Prime Minister in the back of an Uber. I guess the difference here is when you're doing absolutely no work, like going to lunch and drinks, you know, should it really be on the public person? Ultimately, I guess the answer was no in Joe Halen's case. And it's why the rules have now been tightened in New South Wales. But, you know, expenses, scandals, they do come around all the time in politics and they affect politicians of all stripes. So I'm sure this won't be the last one.
And Nick, we are going to run out of time in just a second or two, but do have to say New South Wales Liberals' new leader in Kelly Sloan joining many other states as a bit of a last-minute twist around on that. It does sound like she's got quite a big difference between herself and Chris Minns when it comes to the future of public transport.
Yeah, that's right. There's going to be a big debate over the next year or so about whether we build more metros. You know, these driverless metros in New South Wales have been extraordinarily popular, but they're also extraordinarily expensive. So the coalition is promising that they will build more of these metros. The question really is, how are they going to build them and how are they going to pay for them? Kelly Sloan says she's not committing to anything yet, but she's open to privatisation, whereas the Premier says he's against selling off any public assets, even if it is to fund something that people love, like new metros. So, yeah, I think the battle lines are really going to be drawn ahead of the election, which is happening in just over a year.
Just over a year. Nick Dole, thank you so much. A very big year in New South Wales. Appreciate your time on Nightlife.
Thanks so much, Nick.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.